Well, hello. Well, hello. I'm still here. I'm still here, 2024. That's what I have to say right now. No, that was last year. But what I mean is I'm still here. I'm alive. I'm well. I know. Where have you been? Where's Oscar Guy here at? The season's ramping up. You MIA or what? No, I'm just taking her easy, guys. But I'm here. Oscar Guy here. That's the name of the channel. That's the name of the podcast, Oscar Guy here. Episode, I don't even know what freaking episode it is. How's that? How you like that? Don't even know what episode number it is. Here we go. OscarGuyHere.com/podcast. That's how I will find out, and that's how you will find out. It is episode 13. It is episode 13 of the Oscar Guy Here podcast. 2025. Today is October 28th, 2025. Happy Halloween. Halloween's a couple days away. These days, Halloween is an entire month, apparently. I mean, I was in the city not too long ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, and kids were dressed up and walking around. And it's, I guess, Halloween's the whole month. Just don't even call it October anymore. Just call it Ween. No, there's already a band named Ween. Whatever. Happy Halloween, in any case. Who are you going to go as? You know, you got kids? You taking them trick-or-treating? Are you going trick-or-treating? Man, I thought about it the other day. I'm 35, and, like, I don't eat a lot of candy, if ever. But, man, a Twix bar sounds pretty damn good sometimes. A Kit Kat bar sounds pretty damn good sometimes. Should I dress up as the dude from The Big Lebowski, which I do have a costume for that, and go trick-or-treating as a 35-year-old? You know, as beloved as Halloween is nowadays and how accepting it is, why not, man? World's tough. You know, we all deserve some candy. So maybe I'm not going to do that. But anyway, happy Halloween. We're back. Oscar Guy here is back. I said that a month ago when I published my last episode, but we are back. And I have to admit, it's been a very busy month for me. And I think it's only going to get busier, which is an issue. You know, I'm going to try to do this podcast a little bit more frequently. I mean, I haven't really had the motivation to do new episodes. You know, things are kind of chugging along slower than usual. Things won't really start ramping up until, I would say, December, once nominations start rolling in for the main precursors and the critics groups and things of that nature. So I think that's really when things will be hot. But for right now, we're here. We're doing another episode. I pressed the record button and we're at it. So, first things first, the Philly Film Festival, Philadelphia Film Festival, just ended this past weekend. It was two weekends, and I said that I was going to be attending the festival, which I did to some capacity, but not nearly as much as I wanted to. And there's a few reasons for that. Number one, I had a weekend a couple weeks ago where I had a lot of friends visit from out of town, and we had kind of like a long weekend, like hang vacation type of situation. We, you know, rented an Airbnb in the city, and we hung out and went to a show, and we went to, you know, some bars and hung out and just had, you know, tabletop stuff. We did tabletop games. We kind of did a whole thing. And that was planned very far in advance. I think we had planned that months and months and months ago, like probably spring, early summer. And lo and behold, when the Philly Film Festival announced their dates, it fell during that vacation. At least the first weekend did. The first weekend, I was like, oh man, that first weekend I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be with my friends. And really, honestly, I could have just asked my friends. I was like, hey, you guys mind coming with me to the movies all weekend? But no, I didn't want to hijack our, you know, our quality time together. These are friends that I don't really get to see in person. Very much. So I was like, it is what it is. Well, maybe all the films that I want to see, you know, maybe they'll play at times that I can make the second weekend. Well, it turns out that most of the films that I wanted to see were during that first weekend. Of course, Begonia, Syrah, It Was Just an Accident, No Other Choice, Hamnet, all of those movies played during that weekend where I was unavailable. And I was like, of course, it's the first weekend. So I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to have to take the L and just wait until I see those movies later. All the movies I just listed, I have not seen yet. I'm going to be seeing them as soon as I can, but it is what it is. The next weekend, I was available. And the dates were announced, but the lineup, the schedule, wasn't announced just yet. And the ticketing wasn't announced just yet. So tickets went on sale while I was out of town. I was in Arizona for a work retreat. And the day the tickets went on sale, I had like a 14-hour day. I woke up at like 6:30. I drove half the team to the Grand Canyon. And I didn't get back until like 9:30 at night. And then the next day, I had to wake up at 4 in the morning to go to the airport to fly back home. And literally driving to the airport in the morning, it dawned on me, oh shit, the tickets. I didn't get any tickets. And I was like, well, they're probably not sold out yet, right? It's only been less than 24 hours since they've been on sale. Well, I get to the airport, open up my laptop, go to buy tickets. The films that I did want to see, I ended up only getting tickets for Resurrection, the Begun film, which won the special prize at Cannes. And I got a ticket for Mulholland Drive, which obviously is not a new film. That is a 25-year-old film by one David Lynch that I had never seen. So I'm like, all right, well, Mulholland Drive on 70mm, it's time to do it. So I did that. I wanted to see Is This Thing On? I wanted to see The Testament of Anne Lee. I wanted to see Sentimental Value, which were these are films that were all playing during the second weekend. All sold out. Everything sold out. Everything sold out, like, instantly, within a day. So that's wonderful, right? It's wonderful. That's fucking great, man. That's great. It didn't make sense for me to get a badge because I'm not going to be there the whole freaking weekend, right? Or the whole, you know, 2 weeks, essentially, is how long the festival is. So I was like, all right, well, I can get tickets to Resurrection. I got tickets to Resurrection, and I got tickets to Mulholland Drive. I did not get tickets to Anne Lee, Is This Thing On, and Sentimental Value. However, shout out to my very good friend, RK. He pulled through. I actually messaged him, and I was like, hey, is there an aftermarket for the Philly Film Festival? Where can I get tickets? You know, on like, maybe there's like a StubHub thing or some other network that I don't know about. And he's like, not really. But he hooked me up. He was going to go to the Sentimental Value screening on the last day of the festival, but he had another engagement that he had to go to, and he hooked me up, did me a solid, and got me into one of the screenings for Sentimental Value. So I really appreciate that. Shout out to my dude, RK. So I did get to see that. So Philly Film Festival, kind of a bust, but I was still there. I got to see Resurrection. I got to see Mulholland Drive for the first time on 70mm. And I got to see Sentimental Value, the Joachim Trier film that won the Grand Prix at Cannes. So, my thoughts on these films. Resurrection, absolutely loved it. I think it's a masterpiece. I would love to see it again. I don't really like to call films masterpieces right out the gate after watching it for the first time, but clearly it is a huge achievement in filmmaking. It is a love letter to film, a love letter to cinema. It's very experimental. It kind of portrays, I guess, the history of film through each of the five senses. And it's kind of like these vignettes that kind of portray these five senses. And it's, in a way, it's kind of an anthology film, but you're kind of following like the soul of this one character. This character who can dream in a world where dreams aren't possible anymore, but somehow he can still dream, and he dreams in the form of film, in the form of cinematography. So this woman kind of saves this being, this creature, and he kind of has these like 100 years of like final dreams. And each of these dreams are basically like these vignettes told through one of the five senses. It's very cerebral. It's very experimental, but it's strange. You know, it's better if you try not to understand it and you're just kind of along for the ride. And it's a dream sequence. You know, it's just one long epic dream sequence. And it is absolutely incredible. There were some technical crafts in this film that just truly astounded me. There is, I want to say, like a half an hour one take sequence near the end of the film that just blew me away. And apparently B. Gunn, the director, his previous film, Long Day's Journey into Night, apparently has like an hour long oneer near the end of that film. So I think it's something that he's been used to. But this oneer, I mean, it was happening, and I think like 10 minutes passed, I'm like, oh, this is a oneer. And it just kept going and going and going and going, and it is unbelievable. And that's just one sequence of the film. All the other sequences of the film are amazing. I want to say like the second one, there's like a film noir section that was probably the least captivating to me. But all in all, the whole film was just incredible. It was immaculate. The ending is just incredibly powerful stuff. Yeah, see it. And it's a shame because China did not submit Resurrection for the International Feature category this year. So unfortunately, it's not going to be getting any Oscar nominations. If it does, it'll be a miracle. But if only. I mean, it's one of the best films I've seen this year. I think it's about tied for my favorite movie of the year between that and One Battle After Another, which I don't even think I've talked about that yet on the podcast either. Oh my God, I've seen it twice already. Yeah, I think those two films are my favorite of the year so far. Resurrection, incredible. If it comes out, if it's playing in theaters, God forbid, please go see it. And then I saw Mulholland Drive for the first time on 70mm. And talk about not being able to understand a film. I mean, that is a film where it is pretty much impossible to fully encapsulate and glean any significant meaning out of it the first time you watch it. It's kind of a film that you just need to feel and you just need to experience first and foremost. And then you can circle back on it and analyze it and rewatch it, which I really do want to do. Rewatch this one. But it's a Lynch film, all right. It is as Lynch as it gets. Wacky, bizarre characters, wacky dialogue delivery, strange, you know, cerebral kind of Mobius strip narrative stuff going on, especially in the latter half. The latter third of the film is just like, it's like a reverse dream in a way. You know, I don't want to give anything away, but like the whole film is basically like a dream. And whose dream it is kind of unclear. Is it the main character, you know, Naomi Watts' dream? Is it one of the other characters? Is it David Lynch dreaming all this up? Is it us that's supposed to be dreaming this? Is it like an alternate universe version of Hollywood in a way? It's wild. It's wild. I absolutely loved it, but I do need to watch it again so that I can kind of dig deeper into what it's trying to say or not. Lynch films are kind of like that. You know, you don't really need to understand what the hell is going on. You just need to, you know, Lynch is a master at just getting to the core of emotion and portraying the human experience through just feeling, you know what I mean? Without having to get all heady and shit about stuff. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? I loved it. It was great. The print was beautiful. The projection was great. The crowd was great. It was clearly a crowd full of people that have seen the movie already. It was a great experience. Silencio. If you know, you know. Yeah, need to see it again immediately. And then I saw Sentimental Value on Sunday. Today is Tuesday, and I'm still thinking about it. Like I said, it's the directorial achievement of Joachim Trier that won the film the Grand Prix at Cannes this past year, the runner-up prize to the Palme d'Or. It was pretty much the favorite to win the Palme d'Or, but they gave the Palme d'Or to It Was Just an Accident, which is very well deserved as well. They chose that film, Sentimental Value, as the film that closes out the Philly Film Festival, and what a way to close it out. It is a beautiful send-off. For sure. I really loved it. It was great. I am a big fan of The Worst Person in the World. Joachim Trier's film before this one, also starring Renate Reinsve. I'm not like in the masterpiece camp of that film per se. You know, there's a lot of other people, a lot of other letterboxers and film Twitter people that claim it as a masterpiece. I'm not quite there, but I do really love it still. I'm talking about Worst Person. Sentimental Value, man. I do admit it took me a little bit to get on its wavelength. It took me a while to kind of be won over by it. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed, you know, watching the film as it was progressing, but it didn't really blow me away until the ending. The payoff of the film is incredibly cathartic, and it's like a big exhale of air. You know, it's just like this release that is so cathartic and, like I said, beautiful. And that is really what won me over in the end. And it's one of those films where once you finish watching it, you just want to circle back and watch it again immediately. And that's what I felt after I watched it. Now that you know where it ends and where it goes, I think a second watch will be even more pronounced. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Renate Reinsve is incredible. She really is one of the best actresses out there right now. Stellan Skarsgård gives one of his best performances. He's probably a front runner for supporting actor. It's between him and Sean Penn, really. Renate Reinsfra better get nominated for the Oscar for lead actress. She's probably one of my favorite performances of the year, honestly. Elle Fanning is also really great. Anders Danielsson Lee from Worst Person is also in this film. Newcomer, Inga Ibsdotter Lilius, fantastic performance, more of an understated performance. She is the favorite as far as like the supporting women in that film, I think. It's a beautiful film. And the needle drops, man. Joachim Trier knows to drop the needle, I will say. Like, the needle drops in Worst Person were fantastic. They're just as good in this film. And the needle drop at the end, just, it's a song that I've heard before. And as soon as it started playing at the end, I'm like, oh, this is it. This is going to be it, right? And it was it. Oh, man. So good. So good. So yeah, that's a film that I need to see again immediately. Go see it once it comes out. Sentimental Value. It's going to get nominated for a lot of Oscars, I think. But yeah, that was my Philly Film Festival experience. Very short-lived, very minimal, but I was there anyway. So next year, number one, I'm going to try to get that press badge again. I don't know. I didn't even apply for a press badge this year. I just basically forgot. And there was no really good way to apply for one anyway. But in any case, if I don't get a press badge, I might just like, look, I'll tell my family and friends, look, October is off limits right now until I know when the film festival is, and I'm going to be at the film festival. No ifs, ands, or buts. Okay. Going to make up for this year for sure. But it was fun. It was great. So, what else have I watched? Have I watched anything else? Oh yeah, One Battle After Another. Pretty good movie. Pretty good movie, man. I did my PTA ranked last episode, which is to refresh you guys. I will refresh you guys with One Battle After Another being placed in there. So, my updated ranking is starting at 10 and going to 1. Hard 8, Inherent Vice, Boogie Nights, Licorice Pizza, Magnolia, Phantom Thread. I think Magnolia and Phantom Thread, they're basically tied. But Magnolia, Phantom Thread, One Battle After Another is number 4. 3, Punch Drunk Love. 2, The Master. 1, There'll Be Blood. So One Battle After Another is number 4 in my PTA ranked. Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good placement. I gave it a 4.7. I think the first time I watched it, I gave it a 4.6. Watched it again, I bumped it up a tenth of a point. So my point system is, it's more of a feeling, you know? I don't get too calc heavy. I don't really, you know, break everything down by like script, acting, effects, editing, cinematography. It's kind of an all-inclusive feeling. I do take those aspects into account. But it's more, I don't get too scientific about it. It's more of a feeling. So after my second watch, I felt a 4.7 out of 5. Fantastic movie. It'll probably win Best Picture. I know. I mean, we'll see. It's the front runner right now. It's really between that and maybe Hamnet and maybe Marty Supreme. I think those might be the top three. Sinners might be up there too. But for right now, I think One Battle is like, it's got a lot of Oscars in the bag. We're talking picture, director, screenplay, possibly supporting actress for Tiana Taylor. Score for Johnny Greenwood, I can see happening. Cinematography, I can see happening. Editing, for sure. It's a leader in a lot of categories. So, yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, what the hell are you doing, man? Fuck you doing, man? Do it. I would like to see it again. I didn't see it again right away. I mean, there were a lot of people out there that were like seeing it like two or three times in one weekend. And I was like, well, I went to go see when it came out. I saw it in IMAX. Weekend after that, I went on my work retreat in Arizona, so I didn't see it then. And I think the next weekend, I finally went back and saw it again. So there was a 2-week buffer, which was fine. You know, I didn't want to like overexpose myself to it and kind of hang on to this high, you know. So, which I feel like a lot of people are doing. They're like, they're going to see this and they have this. I want to pace myself. I don't want to get too caught up in the hype. But it is fantastic. It is the hype is mostly justified in my opinion. It's great, man. It's a great movie. I don't know what else to say. So that's what I've been watching. Philly Film Festival, we covered One Battle. What did we do? What else did we see? I want to say, oh, I saw Weapons. Finally saw Weapons. What else did I see? My diary. Here we go. Oh, yeah. So, okay. Did I talk? I don't know if I talked about Sorry Baby, my last episode, but I did watch Sorry Baby. I really liked that. I hope that gets some awards attention. Like, you know, at least like the minor precursors, maybe like the Gothams or critics groups. But I want to say like some of the early precursors, like Golden Globes, Critics' Choice, it's kind of a long shot for any categories, but I really hope that gets some love in the late season. I saw Materialists on the plane back. Felt like a good plane movie. It was fine. I didn't love it, but it was fine. It definitely wasn't any past lives, but it was good, you know. Some of the writing was a little, I don't want to say weak, but just a little like forced, and cringe in a way. I'm very sorry, Celine Song. I don't mean that the wrong way, but I see what she was going for. It's a good movie, you know. Great performances. Dakota Johnson's great. Chris Evans is wonderful in it. There's a scene near the end where he really knocked it out of the park. And Pedro Pascal doing his Pedro Pascal thing. Who was the supporting woman in Zoe? What's her name? Zoe something? Zoe Winters. She was great. Really great performance. I would probably nominate her for like a Gotham Award or something. For that performance. Really, really good. But yeah, just some of the writing just didn't really work for me. I mean, the craft was there, you know. I like how it was shot. The music was pretty good by Daniel Pemberton. But some of the writing was like, what stuck out to me, like Chris Evans kind of plays this like this struggling actor who lives like in an apartment with like these two roommates that are like pieces of shit, and like the apartment antics that they go through is like almost comical, like, and not in a good way. It's so like overblown. Like they're living together like they're in college, but they're clearly older than that, and it was a little cartoonish in my opinion, you know. So I don't know. And yeah, just some aspects didn't work for me. But it was cute. It was a cute film. It was fine. Definitely no past lives, but it was fine. And then I saw Fantastic Planet, the animated film, the French animated film. I just kind of watched it on a whim on HBO Max, and I really loved it. Really wacky movie, really weird movie. And I found out that that actually won a special prize at the Cannes Film Festival when that released in the early 70s. The music is fantastic. My friend Rob wanted to watch it. He was going to maybe watch some of it at work on his downtime. And I said, careful, it's got boobies and wee-wees in it. So, I don't know, man. It's French. What can you do? But it was good. I really liked Fantastic Planet. It was interesting. So I watched that on a whim. Then I watched Weapons because that released on HBO Max this past Friday. I really liked it. I wish I liked it a little bit more. It was very well crafted. Some really great stylistic choices, and the aesthetic of it was really great. It juggled a lot of tones, mostly effectively and successfully. So all of those aspects kind of like make it stand out from other horror films. It's like a Jordan Peele light. It's like a Jordan Peele film without the depth that Jordan Peele. I mean, Peele films have layers and layers of deeper meanings, disguised as a horror film. Weapons is basically a horror film without any of those deeper meanings. And maybe there are deeper meanings, but if there are, then they weren't executed as well as it could have been. But it was fun. It was really fun. I really liked it stylistically. Some great needle drops, some great acting. Creepy as hell. But not great. It like borders on great for me, but it was really good. I enjoyed it. I think it's worth a watch, especially for Halloween. It's a great movie for Halloween. It's good. It's good. I wanted more from it, but what can you do? It was good. I liked it. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much all I've watched. So next on the docket, what else is coming out soon? We're just going to have to wait until some of these other films get released in November. But other than that, we're just chilling, man. We're chilling. I do want to see Blue Moon, the new Linklater film starring Ethan Hawke, who I hear gives an amazing performance in that film. And some people are even predicting him to get nominated for the Oscar for Best Actor. So I've been wanting to watch that. Subject matter seems very interesting. Margaret Qualley's in it. Andrew Scott's in it. I do want to see that. So maybe that's next on the docket. But we're chilling. So far my favorite films of the year. Resurrection, One Battle, and Sentimental Value. And Sinners. I really liked Sinners too. That's it, man. I did update my predictions maybe a few weeks ago. So if you go to oscarguyhere.com/predictions, you can see my October 2025 predictions. And this is post-fall festivals and pre-NIFF. Not that NIFF gives out any awards. NIFF as in the New York Film Festival. I should probably circle back and update some things. I think these categories might be a little outdated, but you can check out my predictions anyway. For right now, I have, for Best Picture, I have One Battle at number one, followed by Hamnet, Sentimental Value, Marty Supreme, Sinners, Wicked for Good, Springsteen, Deliver Me from Nowhere is number seven. I don't think that's going to be happening anymore. That's kind of dropped off as far as hype and as far as word of mouth, and as far as critical reception, it's not the best. Although I hear Jeremy Allen White gives a great, possibly Oscar-worthy performance, so maybe he'll still get into Best Actor, but that will it'll probably stop there. But Springsteen is probably not in there anymore. I do still have in It Was Just an Accident. I have Frankenstein in that placed second at TIFF, and I think the hype surrounding that film has only increased, so I still have that in the 10. And then I have Avatar, Fire and Ash. And then that 10th slot, I'm thinking maybe House of Dynamite. I'm thinking perhaps Begonia. Maybe No Other Choice. If they, you know, can, if Neon can get three films in the Best Picture 10, that would be great. Other than that, I'm not sure what's going to get that 10th slot. Maybe Springsteen still can get in. Not sure. But that's my Best Picture 10. Director is a bloodbath this year, let me tell you. One of the most competitive categories of the year. Best Director is an absolute bloodbath. For right now, I have Anderson, Paul Thomas Anderson, Chloe Zhao, Joachim Trier, Josh Safdie, and Jafar Panahi. And I do have Ryan Coogler at number 6, just barely missing. He's right on the cusp, ladies and gentlemen. I know a lot of people want him to happen. I want him to happen. But in a field this crowded, who is the most vulnerable? I think it might be Ryan Coogler, unfortunately. I hate to say it. Maybe he can take the place of Josh Safdie. That's possible. Maybe he can even pull off a shock and replace Trier somehow. But I do think Anderson, Zhao, and Panahi are the absolute locks. So maybe Coogler can fit in there somewhere. Park Chan-wook, I'd love to see it happen, but I don't see that happening. Did I just say I can see that happening, but I don't see it happening? Yeah, real good. Real good, James. I can see that going either way, is what I'm trying to say, okay? I haven't seen No Other Choice yet, but I hear the directorial achievement is amazing, even more so than Decision to Leave. And he won the Cannes Best Director Award for that. No Other Choice hasn't won any major awards other than the TIFF Audience Award for International Feature. No Other Choice beat out both Sentimental Value and It Was Just an Accident. And that is pretty huge, honestly. So maybe No Other Choice can squeeze in place of either It Was Just an Accident or Sentimental Value in picture, but I don't know. Three Neon films? It's tough. It's really tough. But anyway, back to director. Del Toro, I don't know. He's kind of on the cusp. I don't really see that happening unless Frankenstein really performs well with precursors. Lanthimos, I don't see happening. Cameron, I don't see happening. Bigelow, I don't see happening. Maybe Phil Ho for The Secret Agent, perhaps? I don't know. Other than that, it's a bloodbath. It's an absolute bloodbath. That's what I have for director. Actress, Jessie Buckley is winning, no contest. Everybody tells me that she is just giving it all, bearing it all in Hamnet, just doing everything you need to do and then more to get an Oscar win. so I think she's winning. Again, that's sight unseen. I haven't seen Hamnet yet, but from what people have told me, and for when I've researched predictions, Buckley has got this in the bag. It's got this in the bag. Renate Harinsfa, I have in. Cynthia Erivo, I have in for now, for Wicked for Good. How many times did I say the word for there? I have Erivo in for now, for Wicked for Good. Four. She was probably number 5 last year for the first Wicked. Best Actress isn't that crowded this year, I don't think. So maybe she can fit in there, especially if she gives a better performance. But still, sequels were tough. For the Oscars don't really treat sequels very well. So I want to say that Wicked for Good might underperform comparatively to the first one, but we'll see. No one's seen it yet. So I have Emma Stone in for Begonia. Maybe. That's a maybe. Rose Byrne, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. That's also a maybe. That is not a film up the Academy's alley at all. But she gives an incredible performance from what I've heard. She might be a critic's darling. She might sweep the critics groups and then maybe get into a precursor or two and then fall off. That's my prediction right now. Chase Infinity for One Battle After Another. They are campaigning her in lead. Certainly a choice. I personally think she's supporting, but I can see the argument made against her being lead because she's kind of like the heart of the film. But it is a supporting performance, in my opinion. But they're campaigning her for lead. She's an absolute newcomer. This is her first film. She gives a great performance, but it's not like it doesn't. She didn't blow me away and kind of sold me enough for her to get into lead actress. If it happens, great. Great for her. Happy for her. But I am skeptical about that. But I have her at like number six, number seven. Julia Roberts, After the Hunt. I think After the Hunt's Dead in the Water, following the critical reception of that. Amanda Seyfried. That could probably happen. I have her way down at number eight. Maybe I should have her closer. Maybe take the place of Emma Stone or Rose Byrne. Maybe she can get in. I'd probably put her above Infinity and Roberts at this point. Jennifer Lawrence, Die My Love, I don't think is happening. Rebecca Ferguson for House of Dynamite isn't getting any real buzz. Ava Victor for Sorry Baby, that is an absolute long shot, but I would love to see it happen. Tessa Thompson for Hedda, I still have listed. Not sure how possible that is, but I've heard great things about Hedda. But that's actress. Actor, I have Chalamet winning, DiCaprio at number two. I have Alan White in. I have Will Arnett in the five. Why do I have that? No, I don't think that's going to happen. Ethan Hawke, Blue Moon, I think that's happening. He might be number four or five. Daniel Day-Lewis, Anemone. He's on the cusp. I mean, he gives him a great performance. I actually did see the first half of Anemone and then my internet cut out. So I need to circle back on that. It was fine. It was all right. But he is wonderful in the film, but the film itself is a little mid, in my opinion. So the film is definitely holding him back in that regard, but if Day-Lewis is going to Day-Lewis, then he might get in anyway, but we'll see. Best Actor is a little bit more loose as well. So him, there's Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent. I've heard nothing but great things about his performance in that. Jesse Plemons in Begonia, same thing. A little bit more strange of a film. Lanthimos, his usual cynical, weird, goofball flair in that film. But Plemons, you know, he's a previous nominee. Maybe he'll get in anyway. I don't know. It seems to be a little bit more accessible than Kinds of Kindness, but we'll see. Michael B. Jordan, Sinners, would love to see it. I have him on the cusp. A lot of people are predicting him. I can see that going either way. I would love to see it. Brendan Fraser, my boy. Rental Family, it ain't happening. I'm sorry. Rental Family's dead in the water. Maybe next time, bud. Lee Byung-hun for No Other Choice. That's kind of a long shot. Dwayne Johnson, Smashing Machine. Smashing Machine has really fallen off. It didn't do very good at the box office. Doesn't have really good hype. A lot of people are saying the movie's fine. It's not really enough for him. I don't know. George Clooney, J. Kelly, also possible. That film is kind of all over the place as far as reactions. Some people really like it. Some people really don't. The Letterboxd curve isn't very good for it. Critics seem to be more receptive to it, I think. It's got a 79 on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.5 on IMDb, 3.4 on Letterboxd. That's not great. It's kind of falling by the wayside. But I don't know. We'll see. Supporting actress is probably the most difficult category, if I'm being honest. No one knows really what to do right now. I don't know what to do. Ariana Grande, I'll just tell you who I have right now. Ariana Grande, Elle Fanning, Inga Ibsdottir-Lilius, Tiana Taylor, Amy Madigan. And after seeing Weapons, I'm sorry, I don't think Amy Madigan's happening, guys. I understand that it's the makeup thing, it's transformation, she's a previous nominee. There's no other like clear winner, possibly. That's why people are going for her. I don't see it happening. Weapons is a genre film. It's a horror film. Sure, it does a lot of other things like horror. It does a lot of things other than horror. Sure. But I don't see the Academy responding to that film. I'm sorry. I just don't see it happening. If it happens for her, wonderful. But I will be surprised if it does. I'm not on the Amy Madigan train, I have to say. She's great in the movie. No shade towards her. But I don't know. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm stupid, but whatever. Whatever. And then I have Gwyneth Paltrow, Odessa Zion on the verge of getting nominated. I think I have them at number 6 and 7, respectively. I've heard Odessa Zion gives a great performance in that film, and Gwyneth Paltrow is good, but doesn't do quite enough for Oscar recognition, I guess. Emily Blunt, Smashing Machine, I don't think is happening. Regina Hall for One Battle, would love to see it. She has definitely less of a chance to get nominated than Tiana Taylor does, but maybe a double nom could happen for those two. Wunmi Mosaku for Sinners, would love to see it as well, but that's on the cusp. Glenn Close and Wake Up Dead Man, I don't see happening. Jennifer Lopez, Kiss of the Spider Woman, I hear she's wonderful in that film, but that film was also a box office bomb. The buzz around that is basically dead. Haley Steinfeld, Sinners, Outside Shot for sure. But yeah, who the hell knows what's happening in supporting actress? Supporting actor, Sean Penn, I think is winning. I think the three absolute locks would be Sean Penn for One Battle, Stellan Skarsgård, Sentimental Value, and Paul Mescal Hamnett. I think those three are absolutely in, no question. For now, I have Sean Penn winning. I could also see a case for Stellan Skarsgård and maybe Paul Mescal. I did have Jeremy Strong and Adam Sandler in. I don't think either of those are happening. Adam Sandler probably has a better shot, but I would probably have him around like 6 or 7 right now. I would probably put in Del Toro at this point for One Battle. He gives kind of a more of an understated performance in comparison to Sean Penn. But it's a character that you think about a lot, even after you've seen the film. He leaves a very big impact, and the love for him on film Twitter and Letterboxd proves that. I think if One Battle is winning Best Picture, and if it's going to show up in a lot of categories, I think they both can show up in the category. So maybe Penn and Del Toro can get into supporting actor. And then for number 5, screw it. I'm going to put in Delroy Lindo for Sinners. He's definitely not a lock, but for right now, I'm going to have him in over Jacob Elordi and Frankenstein, which could happen. Other than that, there's not really... Maybe Jonathan Bailey for Wicked for Good. He did get a SAG nomination last year. That was his only precursor. But maybe he'll really knock it out of the park for Wicked for Good. For Wicked, for Good, for now, maybe he can do it. Stephen Graham, Springsteen, Delivery of Nowhere, not happening. I have him at number 12 for some reason. Yeah, I definitely, I need to update all this shit. Original screenplay, cinema value, Marty Supreme, It Was Just an Accident, Is This Thing On, Sinners. I don't know if Is This Thing On is going to get in. Maybe Jay Kelly can take the place of that. Maybe something cool like Sorry Baby can happen. Or maybe Ann Lee, House of Dynamite. Not sure. But I think the four locks are Sentimental Value, Marty Supreme, It Was Just an Accident, and Sinners. And then that fifth slot is kind of up in the air. Adapted screenplay. I think One Battle's winning that pretty easily. It's Paul Thomas Anderson's time to finally win something, whether it be screenplay or director or picture or whatever. It's his year. So One Battle, Hamnet. I have Begonia in. Maybe that can happen. Will Tracy, has he been nominated for anything? I don't think so. He's pretty young, so. Art director, no, Will Tracy, no, that's not an art director. I mean, Will Tracy writer. Oh yeah, he wrote The Menu. Yeah, I forgot about that. And he wrote Eddington as well? Oh no. Why is Eddington listed? I don't know, man. So yeah, One Battle, Hamnet, Begonia. No other choice could happen. Frankenstein could happen. Wake Up Dead Man. Train Dreams. Smashing Machine. I don't know about those. Yeah, adapted screenplay is a little tougher. It's a little tougher. But right now I have One Battle, Hamnet, Begonia, No Other Choice, Frankenstein. We'll see what happens. I don't really want to get into the other categories, some of the lower, the below the line categories just yet. I do have to crunch some numbers regarding international feature and what was submitted and whatnot. So animated feature is also kind of a shit show. We don't really know what's happening there. I know that K-pop Demon Hunters is a front runner. Zootopia 2 is in there. And then Arco, I think, is in there. And those last two slots, who the hell knows what's happening there? Score, I have One Battle winning. Sinners could also pull off a win there, I think. I think Sinners is still competitive in score. Cinematography is kind of up in the air. One Battle, Frankenstein, Sinners, Marty Supreme, Hamnet. Train Dreams could also happen. Ballad of a Small Player maybe can happen. Begonia. Yeah, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. If you want to see the rest of my predictions, just go to OscarGuyHere.com/predictions to see my somewhat outdated predictions, but I will be updating those pretty soon, probably in November. So to close the episode, I figured that we do something a little fun. We're going to do our first reaction. It's not going to be a reaction video, which, by the way, I do want for my next podcast. I do want to start doing video podcasts from here on out and not just audio. So that's kind of a side note, but I digress. We're going to do a little reaction here. What was announced today, Oscar guy here? I'll tell you what I do, man. Two chicks at the same time. No. Let's see what was nominated at Gotham. Gotham nominations happened. 2025 Gotham Award nominations were announced today. I have not looked into this yet. The Gothams are basically like the first precursor. It's not a major precursor by any means. It's like more of like a minor precursor before all of the major precursors happen and before even all the critics groups happen. This is really like the start of the nomination tally and, you know, the precursors and things of that nature. So, it's exciting. I want to say the Gothams don't have a lot of weight in the grand scheme of things, but it definitely gives us a springboard to kind of base everything off of. You know, some winners here and there match up, but it's not really like a game-changing kind of like, oh, this is happening. Oh, because, I mean, Sing Sing killed it at the Gothams last year. And then it, I mean, did Sing Sing did get nominated for what, three Oscars, four Oscars? No, I don't think. I got nominated for song, screenplay, and actor. It missed picture, it missed supporting actor. So it got nominated for three, but it did fall off. But Clarence Macklin, I think last year, won supporting performance over a lot of other performances. And Colman Domingo also won over a lot of other performances. And then A Different Man won Best Feature at Gotham last year, which was crazy, which was very well deserved. I love that movie. That movie definitely needed more love last year. But anyway, I digress again. Let's look at the Gotham nominations. Here we go. Gotham Awards nominations 2025. Here we go. In real time, baby. Variety. Give it to us. Give it to us. All right, here we go. We're going to start from the... Should we start from the top or the bottom? Let's start from the bottom. We're going to start from the bottom and go to the top. Here we go. All right, so... For Breakthrough Performer, we have A$AP Rocky and Highest to Lowest. Great nomination. Great performance. Sabie Behitiar for Preparation for the Next Life. Okay. Chase Infinity, One Battle. Great. Abu Sangare, Suleiman's Story. And Tonatiuh, Kiss of the Spider Woman. Wow. Three names I couldn't pronounce. Sorry. Thanks, guys. And sorry, guys. Sorry, baby. Ava Victor should have been here. I don't know if that's a breakthrough performer, but I think she should have been here. Am I missing anybody? There's a lot, I mean, maybe, I don't know what films are like ineligible or what, but like maybe, the kid from, what's it called? Hamnet could have been in here, but, Chase Infinity, love to see you here. A$AP Rocky, love to see him here. So that's cool. Next, we have Outstanding Supporting Performance. Del Toro, One Battle After Another. Elordi, Frankenstein. Inga Ibsdotter Lilius, Sentimental Value. India Moore, Father, Mother, Sister, Brother. Wunmi Mosaku, Sinners. Wow. Adam Sandler, J. Kelly. Andrew Scott, Blue Moon. Alexander Skarsgård, Pelion. Stellan Skarsgård, Sentimental Value. Tiana Taylor, One Battle After Another. All right, so no Regina Hall, but we do have Del Toro and Tiana Taylor. Where the fuck is Sean Penn? Wait, where's Sean Penn? Wait, how did... Brother. How is Sean Penn not here? Like, he's the front runner, you know? How is Del Toro and Tiana Taylor here and not Penn? That's weird. Am I reading this wrong? I don't see him. Interesting. Del Toro, Jacob Elordi, Ibsdotter Lilius, no, what's-her-face, Elle Fanning, by the way. Ibsdotter Lilius and Stellan Skarsgård are here. Andrew Scott and Blue Moon, Adam Sandler, J. Kelly, Wunmi Mosaku, Sinners. Dude, where is Sean Penn? What are they thinking? Is he on the blacklist at the Gothams? What happened there? Okay, sure. I don't know what to make of that. So we're just going to have to move on, right? Who's winning? Who's winning, though? Maybe Del Toro. Or maybe Tiana Taylor. I don't know. Okay, well, moving on from that. Outstanding Lead Performance. We have Jesse Buckley, Hamnet. We have Lee Byung-hun, No Other Choice. Rose Byrne, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. Sope Dirisu from My Father's Shadow. Ethan Hawke, Blue Moon. Jennifer Lawrence, Die of My Love. Okay. Wagner Moore, Secret Agent. Josh O'Connor, The Mastermind. Amanda Seyfried, Testament of Anne Lee. And Tessa Thompson in Hedda. Okay. All right. What's missing? No Timmy. Again, I don't know if Marty Supreme is eligible or not for this stuff, but, there's no Timmy here. There's no, DiCaprio here. Interesting. So Del Toro and Tiana Taylor are in. So from what I remember, I want to say that the Gothams, they have a different jury for each category. It's not like an all-inclusive jury for all of the categories. So I think nominations and winners are kind of all over the place in each category because of that. So maybe DiCaprio just didn't make the cut? That's weird. No Jeremy Allen White, no Will Arnett, no Day-Lewis, no Plemons for Begonia, no Michael B. Jordan for Sinners. That's stupid. But Lee Byung-hun is here, Rose Byrne is here, Ethan Hawke is here, Buckley's here, Josh O'Connor in The Mastermind. That's cool. Amanda Seyfried, Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, interesting picks nonetheless, but interesting. Quote, unquote, interesting. Okay, sure, why not? Moving on. We got Best Adapted Screenplay, No Other Choice, One Battle After Another, Pillion, Preparation for the Next Life, and Train Dreams. Okay. I don't even know what Pillion is. What is Pillion? Pillion, directed by Harry Lutt. Oh, that one. Oh, yeah. That was at the Cannes Film Festival. That has Harry Melling and Alexander Skarsgård. I forgot about that one. I've heard good things about that. Okay, that's cool. Preparation for the Next Life. That's another one that I'm not as familiar with as well. It's by Amazon MGM, Fred Hershinger. Okay, it's got great reviews. By Bing Liu. Mind the Gap. Okay. All right. whoops, I exited out. I exited the link out. I'm an idiot. This guy's an idiot. Okay, so Best Adapted Screenplay, No Other Choice, One Battle, Pillion, Preparation for the Next Life, Train Dreams. Okay. Original Screenplay, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. It Was Just an Accident. Secret Agent, Sorry Baby, Sound of Falling. Nice. How the hell are they not going to nominate Ava Victor for performance? Man. I mean, at least she got a screenplay nom. That's cool. Great category. Great category. Great category. I guess Marty Supreme is ineligible. I mean, it's not really out yet. It doesn't count out till Christmas, for God's sake, so maybe that's why. Sound of Falling. Very, very cool to see that here. Sinners isn't here. Weird. After the Hunt, it's probably dead, right? Weapons isn't here. Materialist isn't here. That's not been showing up. Okay, moving on. Breakthrough Director. Constance Tsang for Blue Sun Palace. Carson Lund for Ephes. Nice. Sarah Friedland for Familiar Touch. Akinola Davies Jr. for My Father's Shadow. And Harris Dickinson for Urchin. Nice. Nice. Good category. Moving on. Best Director. Mary Borenstein for If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. Jafar Panahi for It Was Just an Accident. Kelly Reichardt for The Mastermind. Okay. Paul Thomas Anderson, One Battle. And Oliver Lax, Seerat. Oh, that's cool. Hell yeah. No Joachim Trier. No, no Chloe Zhao. Is Hamnet even here? Yeah, Hamnet's here. No Chloe Zhao for director. Are you kidding me? Weird. Yeah, these are weird picks, man. Weird picks. Whatever you say. No Coogler. No Park Chan-wook. No Lanthimos. But okay, we got PTA. We got Panahi. Reichardt and Lox. And Mary Bornstein for If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. Cool. I want to say if I Had Legs, I'd Kick You is going to really crush it here. All right. So documentary feature, documentary feature, I don't really predict for that until like way late in the season anyway. So this will be a good springboard, I guess. 2000 meters to Andrivica. BLK News, Black News, BLKNUWS, something. Terms and conditions, okay. My Undesirable Friends, Part 1, Last Air in Moscow. The Perfect Neighbor, I've heard great things about that one. And Put Your Soul on Your Hand and Walk. Well, don't mind if I do, I'll do just that. And that's it. Okay. Noted. International feature. It was just an accident. No other choice. Nouvelle Vague, Resurrection. Let's go. Justice for Resurrection. Let's go. Justice for Resurrection. Justice for Resurrection. Justice for Resurrection. Justice for Resurrection. Okay. And Sound of Falling. Great category. Great category. Wonderful category. What's missing? Secret Agent's not here. And C-Rot is not here. C-Rot gets into director, but not international feature. Interesting. But man, some Resurrection? Let's go. Dude, I hope that wins. But, I mean, it was just an accident. No other choice. That's tough competition. Gotta say, that is tough competition. But great category. Nouvelle Vague, I've heard mixed things about. Some people like it, but a lot of people think it's like whatever, I guess. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It is coming to Netflix. Is that coming? Is that on Netflix right now? Maybe I'll go watch that. I haven't seen it yet. Comes out Friday. Cool. Yeah, I'll probably see that. All right. Okay. And we have Best Feature. Here we go. Best Feature. Drum roll, please. Begonia. Okay, there it is. Wow. Interesting. So Begonia literally gets the one nomination. Emma Stone blanks. Jesse Plemons blanks. No screenplay. No director, but it gets into picture. Cool. East of Wall. What is East of Wall? Kate Beecroft. Oh, it was Sundance film. Okay, Scoot McNairy's in it. Okay. It won the Audience Award in the next program at Sundance. Okay. Familiar Touch. Another one I'm unfamiliar with. no pun intended. It was at Venice. It was at Venice Film Festival. It won the Lion of the Future Award. Okay. Cool. All right, Hamnet. Hamnet is here. If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. Lurker. What is Lurker? Alex Russell directed. Zach Fox is in it. Another Sundance film. Screened at the Berlin International Film Festival. Okay, sure. One Battle After Another. Sorry, Baby. Testament of Ann Lee. And Train Dreams. I think Train Dreams is coming back, y'all. That was a Sundance film. Netflix acquired it. And I have a feeling that Train Dreams is really going to start showing up. I think it's going to start showing up, especially if Netflix starts to campaign it. It's getting nothing but great buzz. It won something at the Chicago International Film Festival for artistic achievement. Joel R. Edgerton is getting great buzz for his performance. Yeah, it might happen. Train Dreams, keep a close eye on that guy. So yeah, feature, again, Begonia, East of Wall, Familiar Touch, Hamnet, If I Had Legs, Lurker, One Battle, Sorry Baby, Testament of Ann Lee, and Train Dreams. It was just an accident it's not here. That was nominated for how many awards here? Director, International Feature, and Original Screenplay. But not feature. Again, all these categories are in their own bubbles. All the juries are in their own bubble in each category. So, gotta justify something, I guess. But Leo not making it into lead and Sean Penn not making it into supporting is very strange. But again, these are the Gothams. It's not end all be all for all these things. It's just something to base something off of. Those are the Gothams. Those are the Gotham nominations, man. Those are the Gotham nominations. Those are the Gotham noms. Big budget, one battle after another, leads with record-breaking 6 nominations. Hell yeah. Adam Sandler and Jesse Buckley score acting nods. All right. Well, that's it. That's the Gotham Award nominations, and I think that's going to be it for this episode of the podcast. I think that's going to be it, man. Again, have a good Halloween, everyone. I will indulge in some candy, indulge in some spooks, watch some spoopy movies. Probably going to watch some spoopy movies myself. I might watch House. I might watch Freaks. I might watch Skinamarink. Happy spoopy season, everyone. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with stuff and things and whatnot and what have you. And that's all I got to say. As always, follow me on Instagram, Oscar Guy Here. Letterboxd, Oscar Guy Here. Go to OscarGuyHere.com for information about the podcast, my predictions, my reviews, any videos coming up. I think my next video is going to be most likely either the next podcast, video podcast, or it might be Thank You So Much, Bike Outside. Hopefully that didn't pick up, but if it did, welcome to Philadelphia. What was I saying? Thanks. Just had to let me know that you have a motorcycle, man. That's wonderful. It's wonderful stuff. My next video might be a reaction video to maybe the Golden Globe nominations early December. We'll see. But I'm here, y'all. I'm here. I'm trucking away. I'm not dead. I'm just taking her easy this year. Hope y'all don't mind. But if you're listening, if you're still following, much love. Thank you so much for sticking with me. That's going to be it, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, I'll catch y'all on the flippy flop. Oscar Guy is